This week I heard a man say at a public forum on, I think, solutions, I'm paraphrasing, out of the vast array of things that could be done, and I just one, what should I do this day to make of my one life the very best use? And the answers he heard back from the folks at this forum, the panelists, did not reveal a goal. That is to say, a goal for all of us to unite behind. What bothers me is not at base money. It's their control of our lives that bothers me. Money simply tokens this control, measures its degree, but keeping you and me from developing our full human possibilities when there's absolutely no need, no reason beyond lust for supremacy. To do this signals a narcissistic depravity that would bring down all life in its wake, cares not a whit for planetary health, hears no counsel beyond the walls of its poor self, cannot its own disowned self hear. What is our goal, if not to release our lives, all life, from this death grip? I think we have to be concerned at this juncture, when all life is at risk, with the narrowing of goal implied by nationalisms of whatever kind. In the last segment of the July 1st, 2012 show that I just put up on the website, Dewey made the point that even as activism seems to progress, the system and its agenda to craft us as it sees fit never lets up for a minute, keeps pushing ahead apace, which if we stop to notice would show us that our belief that we're fundamentally changing things is illusory. And this has been coming up for me a lot this week. Why do we accept the limits imposed by power? Why do we tell ourselves we're making a dent in the system when we're not even scratching it? And then, why do we tell ourselves making a dent added to the dents of others will eventually end it, when they're not aimed at the structural underpinnings? I think because we don't have regular access to each other's lives, and so don't work together to develop our thought. And our atomization ensures the monopolization by power on the thoughts that float across our lives, the thoughts we swim in like the air we breathe, and so never see them. Certain thoughts are rewarded by power, rewarded by being megaphoned. You'll receive confirmation back that you're right, i.e. smart. But those thoughts that challenge power, it will attempt to banish into silence. And if you chance to speak them, few will hear. But power lives in a house of cards that are but thoughts they give to us, and tumble down they go, so soon as we choose to touch them, test their truth. In an interview with a quote-unquote environmental consultant that I read this week, she said her goal was to better the world. Now, what's wrong with a goal to better the world? Well, I believe that unless you have a clear goal, you can't have a clear plan. And in the absence of a clear goal and a plan for how to get there, you're stuck in magical thinking, wishing and hoping and dreaming and praying. And if your focus is on the individual, you're leaving the world, the earth, the land, the soil beneath our feet, globally, to power, to shape in its foul image. And that's not fulfilling our obligation to all life. And if your argument or belief is that transforming the individual transforms the world, tell me concretely how. How does a narcissistic focus on the individual reclaim for all the physical world? This is the drumbeat I've heard my whole life. Better the world, we're told. Serve. But making the world a better place in practical terms means serve the state. As long as the state is in place, as long as it determines the tools we use, the thoughts we use, the limits of what we can do. Service becomes service to the state. So eradicating poverty, for instance, means if we're thinking and talking authentically, we renounce responsibility for each other's lives while the big boys decide what to do with us. This week, I heard the head of the World Bank announce a campaign to eradicate poverty, he said. He described this as boosting shared prosperity. He said, let's do this by 2030.